This is a presentation of Dawnforge Productions.
You're listening to All Things Azeroth, episode 591, The Warcraft Hall of Fame. Today's sponsor is Audible. Get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. We're also sponsored by Funko, maker of the world's broadest selection of vinyl figures, from pops to dorbs, rides to mugs, and so much more. Check them out at bit.ly/Funko ATA 2018.
Coming all the way from the exotic land known as Canada, buckle in for another episode of All Things Azeroth. Now presenting your hosts, the always stalwart and honorable Medros, a master of the fell and commander of demons, Fandeth, and everybody's favorite meat shield. Wait, meat shield? Who wrote this? I am not a tank. Ahem. The ever boastful warrior, Toasty, bringing you your news from the World of Warcraft. This is All Things Azeroth.
And welcome back to All Things Azeroth, your World of Warcraft podcast. I'm your host, Medros. And with me, I have Toasty. How you doing, Toasty?
I'm a little like, I don't know. It was weird not doing that portion immediately after the intro. I was getting ready to hit unmute so I could start doing it, and then, oh, that's right. Your voice is back to normal now, so you can do it.
Indeed. I do have sufficient voice to actually do intros and welcome people back and all that good stuff.
Well, hey, there we go.
Yep. And how you doing there, Fan?
Doing pretty good.
Could be better?
Oh, well, you know, That
five goals intro, better.
I kind of tripped up on it a couple times. It was like a case of the Sundays.
Yeah, you know, I think I've heard some other people are having a pretty bad case of the Sundays today too.
Yeah, I mean them blizzards and snow and whiteout conditions really throw everybody for a loop, even the best.
Yeah, it turns out even planes can't handle the whiteout.
Well, apparently the whiteout does not always serve the jets well.
This is Mother Nature's whiteout, though.
True.
She's cruel and heartless.
That is a polite way of putting it, yes.
Well, I think that's enough about hockey talk. Medros, how was your week in WoW?
My week in WoW was thoroughly uneventful. Didn't really do too much at all. Just kind of basic stuff. Been trying to recover my voice and feel better. Still taking antibiotics and stuff, so all that good stuff is still on the mend. My voice, as you can tell, is not 100%, but it is much better than it was the last couple weeks. Yeah, just been doing a lot of time resting and relaxing, and doing the basic stuff. Just trying to keep my characters in order, haul resources. And trying to build the gold reserves to prepare for Battle for Azeroth. How about yours, Fan?
My weekend WoW was, I logged into WoW today to get the notes for this weekend WoW. That's honestly really all I had the time to do in the past week. Went to a hockey game on Wednesday, which was awesome. But a lot of the other times was just, cleaning up around the house. I had a sick cat. He was not having a good couple days there, so I was kind of cleaning up after him and walking downstairs to the bed that's in a spare room downstairs and where he was sleeping, and just kind of petting him a little bit and, making sure he was doing all right. And, he'd start purring and stuff, but he would just kind of stay there. And so, yeah, it was a lot of just stuff around the house and not really a lot of time to log into games. So it's been a quiet week for me.
I wouldn't call it a quiet week. Quiet week game-wise.
Yeah, it's a quiet week. Even looking at my computer-wise. How about you, Toasty? How was your week in WoW?
It was actually, like, fairly uneventful. I guess, the guild as a whole has decided that as a result of pretty shoddy attendance ever since we landed AOTC, that raiding would just not be happening anymore. And I understand why, to a degree. No, not to a degree. I completely understand why. I mean, it's frustrating having to put together a raid group when you have maybe half of your team actually showing up to raid. It sucks. I was not ready for the raiding to be over.
And not only that, but like one of your healers went MIA and the other healer is no longer in the guild, so that's a huge crutch to overcome,
especially at this point in the expansion when when people in general just aren't playing as much. But hey, good things can come from that, I guess. I don't feel the need to log onto my warrior as much anymore, just because I'm not raiding for the rest of the expansion. So I'm taking the opportunity to level up some things that I've been wanting to do for some time. I've been alternating between logging onto my shaman, or my newly created rogue, or my lightforged hunter. Just playing other stuff in the game, which has been a nice change of pace. I'm actually enjoying the freedom to do basically what I want in game, as opposed to, okay, I need to make sure I got all this stuff for raiding, so I'm ready to go raid on Tuesdays and Fridays. And while the preparation to raid is not nearly as bad as it may have once been, I will say that because raiding took up a good majority of my playing time, just the way I have my fun stuff scheduled, I felt that anything I was doing to not either improve my gameplay on my warrior or just get prepared for raid was time wasted. It was getting to that point for me. So I'm enjoying that I can just kind of do whatever and not feel guilty about it. So I've been having fun diving into other classes and all that other stuff. I'm playing the alpha a bit. That was one of the other thing I was worried about when I got alpha access initially. Like, okay, well, I only play WoW 2 nights a week.
Yeah.
And both those nights are taking up raiding. So how much realistically am I going to play the alpha? And now that I'm, you know, not raiding anymore, starting in on the alpha, like, I feel less guilty about it. And I realize that, you know, like, don't get me wrong, like, the people in my guild absolutely did not put that kind of pressure on me. That was just all, that's all, just the way I approach things. So, you know, whatever. But hey, yeah, I'm having fun doing other stuff, and that's, you know, end of the day, that's what matters to me. I'm having fun just doing whatever.
I have to, oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Going.
No, I just after you're done, I have an addendum that I just thought of.
Oh yeah, go ahead. I was kind of just and trying to think of something else to say. So
okay. So I scared myself a little bit today when I pulled up the launcher and my computer restarted itself because we had a slight power outage here at one point. So I pulled up the launcher and I hit play on WoW, and so loads up and there's only two characters. I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, this realm does not look familiar. I'm like, what is going on? And so I look at the launcher and I'm like, oh, this is the alpha. Okay, well, I better close out of this and log into the game. So, or log into live. And so, in my drop down for like actual live licenses, I have three things in the drop down. There's Crazy Canuck, there's Gnome Hata, and there's WoW 1. And just out of some strange thing in my mind, I picked the second one, Gnome Hata, and it has, it logs into Laughing Skull and has all these characters. I'm like, I know these, but where's Fandeth? Where's Felborn? Where's Rokukos? Like, I can't even see my characters. So that's my second account, my first alt account that I made. I guess I was doing like a RAF, and so I had a couple characters still on that account, but it just confused me so much. I'm like, what happened to my characters? Did I delete them? Did somebody log into my account and delete my characters? And it just confused me. Luckily, I was able to log into the correct license, and hey, all my characters are there, and you know, life was restored to the universe. But it was scary for a minute there. I'm like, what happened? That's it. I quit. I'm done.
That would be scary.
I just want to establish something real quick here.
Hi.
Your second account is called Gnome Hata.
Gnome Hata. Gnomehata. Because, I mean, I was all Horde back then, and, you know, glory to the Horde, and
nothing else is good enough. And now you play a gnome.
And now I play a gnome, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, I'm not going to lie, when you first said that, like, I don't know if you've ever watched the show The 100. The title Hata is reserved for, I can't remember what exactly it means. I just know that it refers to a leader of some sort. So I found that kind of funny. And I forgot where else I was going with that. So, Well, you can log on to it now, Medros. Medros is trolling a bit in the chat for those of you listening to the download.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Toasty. I'm not trolling at all.
See, Medros was waiting for the reaction from Frasley in reference to fans' alt account name, Gnome Hata. Frasley's like, I'll forgive you, it's an inactive account. To which Medros replied, but you can log in. So is it inactive? Well, yeah, because it gets converted to a trial account, assuming there's nothing above level 20.
Correct.
Huh. I see. I Frazzy, you're grasping a little hard there, man. All right, well, let's move on to our first sponsor of the show. So our first sponsor is the great folks over at Funko. If you haven't heard of them by name, you've definitely seen their products somewhere. They make collectible vinyl figures from a bunch of Blizzard universes, Warcraft to Overwatch, Heroes to Diablo, and even more from outside of the Blizzardverse, like Firefly, Marvel, and Sherlock. And they do so much more. I like having a Funko Pop each week, and this week's Funko is Thanos from the Infinity War collection. This is a really cool-looking Funko. Now, you know, when they were talking about leading up towards Infinity War and stuff, you know, there's only one actor that I could ever see playing Thanos in this universe as Ron Perlman. And I feel like this Funko Pop really captures Ron Perlman's characteristics very well. The broad chin and everything. It's really cool. I really like this one, and I'm really looking forward to getting this myself. You can get a lot of different Funko Pops. They have lots of different stores out there. There's exclusives for different places like Hot Topic, GameStop, Walmart, and more. But what we want to have you do is we want you to check out the Funko store itself. If you want to check it out, go to bit.ly/FunkoATA2018. You can check out their online shop and use Shop10 to save 10% off your entire purchase. That's bit.ly/FunkoATA2018 and use the code Shop10 to save 10%. And we want to thank Funko for their support of the show. So let's go to this week in WoW there, FN.
Well, it's going to be another quiet week in WoW. This week is... We actually... I think last week we only had one thing. This week we have two. So from April 17th to the 23rd is the Legion Dungeon event and PvP Brawl Gravity Lapse. So the Gravity Lapse is the one where you can jump really, really high in Eye of the Storm. So yeah, that sounds like fun. I still have not done that. And every time I talk about it, I say, oh, I'm going to do it this time. It hasn't happened, but one day I will.
I'm just saying, I'm not raiding all week. We can plan a night where we do just BGs.
Ooh. Let's do them Horde side. Yeah.
No, but I don't have... Really. Oh.
You have a warlock.
That's level 100.
Oh. Well, I don't know. You could level him.
I guess. I don't know. Maybe. Or we could just play on the faction where we both have 110s.
Yeah. Decently geared as well.
Yeah.
My 110s on Horde side are not at all decently geared. Although my Alliance guy isn't super geared either.
Yeah, better than your Horde ones.
That's true.
There were a whole bunch more interviews that came out in regards to Battle for Azeroth. Was there another con that happened this week that I just did completely missed?
Some of these saved, they're from PAX East, so maybe just they hadn't gotten released yet or something. They're just kind of, you know, slowly releasing this news for podcasters like us.
Oh, I appreciate it, all you wonderful interviewers.
especially when, like, you know, some of us barely played WoW at all and don't really have a lot for that section.
Right.
Unfortunately.
So, they did talk about a few more new things. They spoke one thing that they went into some detail about was, again, the Warfront game mode that's going to be coming out in Battle for Azeroth, where, I don't know, the way I'm reading it, sounds like it's supposed to be similar to how the Mists of Pandaria scenarios kind of played into the game content-wise. So they certainly drew that comparison during the interview. I think that was with Sparty Smallwood, where, you know, there's sort of shorter term PvE potentially events that should be lasting between 15 and 30 minutes. So it's, you know, bite-sized content, which is great, honestly. I feel like when talking to a lot of people who play WoW these days, and I realize this is just completely anecdotal, but a lot of people are taking it in smaller chunks. So, smaller chunks of content is, you know, A-okay by me. So, right now they're planning on 6 different island aesthetics. Oh, sorry, this is the island expeditions now. Sorry. Warfronts. I lost my spot. I took notes.
One thing I found really entertaining about one of the interviews is that they believe the advanced AI wasn't believable because it didn't jump. And now the NPCs are going to jump. I will have to see. To me, that'll be comical, knowing that it's an AI and it's jumping on my screen.
Hey, yeah. That's accurate, though. I don't know about you guys. Are you guys jumpers when you're moving
around? Oh, yeah.
Nah.
That makes me go really faster.
No jumping for you?
No.
Oh, man. When I'm running across something, if I jump, I go faster. Like, that's a fact of life.
Yeah.
I think the game engine would disagree with that assessment, but okay.
That is my approach to any if something allows me to jump, I am constantly jumping. Like, watch me play Overwatch. It's just me jumping all the freaking time. And if it's with a character where I have a mechanic to jump higher, like Junkrat, I'm doing that every chance I get.
And like double jump? Yeah, buddy. Sometimes I'll glide and I'll accidentally hit jump in the middle of my glide because jumps are just that cool. And yeah, like Frasley had mentioned in chat about Worgen and Night Elf jumps. And Night Elf jumps with the flip? Yeah. All over that. And I mean, gnomes have to jump because back in raiding, they used to put the feast so high that I'd have to jump to actually eat it.
Oh yeah, that was amazing. Like it was high enough to the point where if I used a world shrinker on my Draenei, it would still be above my head. I don't know how that happened, but it happened regularly.
There's another interview, speaking of AI, where they mentioned advanced AI will now get out of AoE. That's awesome. Like you won't be able to AoE things down. Like Rain of Fire? Just step away.
I mean, I guess that's cool. but I want to kill them with my blade storm. That yeah. I will definitely spec back into, because I don't know if it's going to be good or not again. Only reason I spec'd out of it for Legion was because it was, you know, the obvious inferior choice at the time. This time, you know, I'll try it out again. They spoke about raid tiers. I guess because people have this idea that they know how many raid tiers are going into every expansion every time. That's definitely the case. They spoke frankly about it. Said the amount of raid tiers in this expansion is dependent on where the story and battle for Azeroth goes. So, TLDR, they don't know how many raid tiers are going to be. They could make more than Legion, they could make less. Depends on what makes sense, and I'm okay with that. As long as there's no year-long raid tiers.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys did good with the 8 months. Ish. But no year-long raid tiers.
And no more Ruby Sanctum. Like, please. That's not even a raid tier.
Just a useless raid to kill time? Yeah. I'm okay with not having that. What else is there? They talked about some of the different NPC makeups in the island expeditions. Specifically that they may not follow the traditional... it may not be immediately obvious what class that NPC is supposed to belong to. The reference they made to allude to that was Gazlo using a flamethrower, because, you know, that's not really an option for any other class. I want it to be an option for the class, for a class. Blizzard, give me a flamethrower. I mean, I know I could roll Fire Mage. Something else that uses fire, Destrolock. But, like, that's magical fire, which is cool. But flamethrower fire is objectively better.
Don't warriors use fire when they run? When they charge?
That's a glyph.
Still.
Glyph into that.
Still. A quality use of fire.
Also, we while we're enraged, we are on fire. Also via a glyph. One other thing that they talked briefly about on the final boss interview, the global cooldown thing, as we talked about, I think it was last week or the week before, some abilities are being moved to the global cooldown. In fact, there were a couple more that were moved to the global cooldown in one of the latest alpha patches. I think charge was included as one of the abilities moved to the GCD. There's a list of other ones, but honestly, there was the warrior one, so that's all I paid attention to.
Well, and the major things that they want to keep off of GCD are interrupt, because if you have to wait to use any abilities so that you have a free interrupt for something, that feels bad. And defensive cooldown. So if you have to wait to, you know, blow a big defensive cooldown, or like including bubble somebody because they're gonna die, that feels really bad.
Yeah, so they said that abilities like interrupt are likely to remain off the global cooldown because they are abilities that you are, quote, asked to use as a reaction to a mechanic in game. And yeah, I agree.
I don't know if you probably haven't heard a whole lot about it, but way back in BT raiding, oh, what was that boss? The one that came out of the thing and he attacked things and...
Came out of the thing and attacked things, so any raid boss...
It was like the bane of existence for rogues. I'll have to look this up.
What did it look like?
It was like a ghost face thing.
That was...
Right?
Oh, see, but you actually raided it.
No, I didn't. Then.
Okay, so it was relevant content for you at one point.
I was not on a Reliquary of Souls. It was just always something. Right after Gurtug Blood Boil.
Yeah. For me, that content was just something that happened in the past.
Yeah. I back then, I raided Negentus and Supremus and Shade of Akama, a little bit of Terran Gorfiend, maybe some. No, I don't think Gurtug Bloodboil. that was pretty much as far as I got raiding with the team that I was on. Yeah, Reliquary of Souls was the one that it required an interrupt rotation. So I think they had three people just rotating through interrupts. It's like Rogue One, kick kicked. Rogue Two, kick kicked. Rogue Three, kick kicked. Back to Rogue One, kick kicked. So you have to be very careful that you had an availability of something so that you could actually do the kick that you need. It was not kind to people.
No, doesn't sound like it. What else have they talked about here?
Raids will require some CC again? That's nice. I enjoyed CC. Maybe not so much in raids, but like doing dungeons, when I used to do dungeons a lot. As long as it wasn't like, we need a warlock to banish this thing. Because that's not fun. If everybody can do the CC, that's okay. But if it's like only one person can do the CC, that's not fun.
Yeah, I definitely agree that CCs feel better. Would feel better in dungeons as opposed to being in raids. With a dungeon, it's a smaller group. You kind of expect to have to break out all your tools.
Yeah.
I have a feeling like everything that in a raid, if it was like a hard requirement for CC for at a certain point, it would just feel tedious. Especially, you know, corralling a bunch of people to make sure they don't break the CC for if you're in a bigger raid group.
That's true too, yeah.
Better just kill it. It's fine. They did talk a bit about encounter design during the final boss interview. I'm not going to go into great detail about that. They did say during the interview with Swifty that the beta is actually coming up soon. Not just, you know, the usual TBD. So, hey, beta is going to be opening up soon. More people are going to get access to this. It's going to be cool. Speaking of, like, beta and all that stuff, they're doing raid testing already. Does that feel a little soon to you guys?
To be just only an alpha? Kind of, yeah.
I guess it's soon. I guess it feels soon because it's still an alpha, but at the same time, the game is being released in almost four months to the day.
Wow.
So, maybe not so soon?
That reminds me, I have to do my pre-order.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, better do that. I gotta do that too, actually.
Yeah. Probably.
I wonder if it's on Amazon yet.
It's on Amazon.com.
Yeah, but that's .com.
Oh, does your Prime not do .com?
Prime only works in the country you buy.
Lame.
Yep.
So one of you should get the US Prime and the other one should have the Canada Prime, and then I can abuse both of you.
I don't see Battle for Azeroth at all on Amazon, though, oddly, one of the suggestions is a pair of women's underwear when I search for Battle for Azeroth. I don't get it. At all. Like,
Is it well-themed underpants?
No, it's not. There's nothing about it. Apparently, it's made by a company named Azeroth. That's all I can tell. It's stupid. Amazon's stupid sometimes.
That's the link for .com. Battle for Azeroth Collectors.
Yeah, I don't see anything about Battle for Azeroth on .ca. .ca?
No. No.
Like,
I don't think I've seen many Blizzard games on .ca.
Well, they have collector's editions for Cataclysm, Pandaria, and Lich King. And they have Legion Normal Edition. Lich King? Yeah. It's currently not available.
Don't tease me like that, man.
But yeah, Warlords. They have Burning Crusade. Collector's Edition. Burning Crusades for $250. Would you like to buy that now? It's not Prime eligible, sorry.
No.
They have the StarCraft 2, both Collector's Editions, for Heart of the Swarm and Wings of Liberty.
Ooh, I don't have
and Legacy of Void.
I have the other ones. I have the other ones already, so that's fine. I don't have Wings of Liberty.
Wings of Liberty is only $377 Canadian. Good deal.
Yeah,
That was sarcasm, just in case anybody wasn't sure.
Sorry, Jess is PMing me stuff, and it's funny.
Hey, Jess, after the show.
Something about Azeroth? Yeah?
I'm not even going there.
Groan. Oh, maybe I'll just go down to EB Games and pre-order from there, because then I don't have to pay for shipping. I don't really care when it comes in.
Well, I mean, you'll probably have access to it the day before, and I mean, as long as you're willing to put the money down, it's not a big deal. But.
Yeah, and putting the money down is no big deal for me, so I'll pay the whole thing, and then I don't have to worry about it in the future. I'm not into the future me problem type thing, because future me problems really suck for future me.
But for present you, it's fine.
Except for when it is the future, then present me is not very happy.
Interesting talking point, and I think that's all it's going to be is a talking point. I don't think this will actually happen, but the people at MMO Champion thought it was worth noting. During a conversation about the Azerite's effects on the different races of Azeroth, the Mogu were mentioned in the same breath as the Dark Iron Dwarves. Which means, hey, the Mogu might be affected by all this too. Also, that led to a lot of people like assuming that Mogu were also going to be an allied race. I think that's just going to be the default reaction to any race that's mentioned now. Oh, look, a race of fly people, allied race.
Flying pigs.
Allied race. Or those weird stitched together pig men thing. Did you guys see that model? It's disgusting. Oh, I'll have to dig that up from Wellhead or something, but yeah, it was like a stitched up abomination kind of thing, but it had a pig head. Which was just...
Are you sure that's not from Diablo?
No, it was on Wellhead. I remember seeing that on Wellhead.
Maybe it was fan art.
Maybe. No, there were different models and recolors and stuff. Here's another thing that I'm interested to see, and to what degree we're going to be seeing this. That we're going to be seeing the impacts of the war on the world. I mean, I'm sure we're going to see the obvious impacts, like Teldrassil and Lordaeron. Those seem like the obvious choices for us to see the impact on the world. But to what extent are we going to see the impacts throughout the rest of Azeroth? I'm the fact that they're mentioning it that way intrigues me as to what we can expect from Battle for Azeroth. I think that was it for the interviews. But there was a bunch of other stuff that came up this week, just from Alpha. One change that I found interesting was the idea of the Realm First achievements not being a thing anymore. So I guess what's happening instead of the traditional Realm First achievements is that the first 100 groups... or 100 guilds, I think. Instead of getting the respective Realm First achievement, they're going to be getting an achievement called the Hall of Fame?
See, I thought they got rid of Realm First achievements completely in Warlords. Does this bring them back?
I believe the Realm First achievements still happened with raids.
Okay. It was just not
specifically Mythic. Okay. Because during some of the kill videos, I'm pretty sure they had Realm First achievements pop up for those World First kill videos.
When I first read this, I was assuming they meant AOTC ahead of the curve, but yeah, the Realm First, it won't have any effect on me at all.
As a result of getting this achievement, you'll get a specific achievement for that, obviously, but you're also going to be getting a title. So, for example, the final boss of the first raid is called the Goon. So, if you achieve that Hall of Fame achievement, you're going to get the title, you know, blah, 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 famed Slayer of Goon. I'm assuming, as opposed to just Slayer of Goon. So that's kind of cool, actually. Because outside of the obvious achievements, I don't think there's any... Right now, anyway, I don't think there's any indication that somebody may have been one of those first groups to kill him.
This is an interesting change, because what this is going to do is get away from people swapping to servers where nobody's killed those bosses.
Yeah.
And farming it on that server just so that they can get the titles. Now you have to be within the first 100 to actually get that achieve. So I feel like this is a really good change.
I mean, it's going to suck for the people who are, you know, on those dead servers and, you know, wanted to get that notoriety of being the first person group on their server to kill.
You know, the other option is get good.
Well, yeah, that too.
Not like it really has any effect on me, because I've once upon a time, I was very close to Realm First on a few things, but I've never been in a group that was good enough to do that.
So, one thing that the Post and Wowhead did was they gathered information as to the faction breakdown for the guilds that have killed Mythic Argus. So as of April 1st, there were 550 guilds that killed them. Of those 550 guilds, 30% were Alliance, 70% were Horde. Which, you know, is obviously very lopsided. If chasing these Hall of Fame achievements is something you're interested in, maybe switch over to Alliance.
Oh, that's a very good call. Maybe that will fight that faction imbalance too, where we had talked about last week or the week before, where most raiding guilds are Horde, and it's turning more that way because, you know, more guilds, more high-end guilds are Horde, and so it just people switch over to Horde to try to collect people for their raid groups, and that's like what happened with Midwinter,
right?
And AKA Midsummer now.
Did they actually change it to Midsummer?
No, they didn't. They kept Midwinter. But
here's another interesting thing that came up in this post about the Hall of Fame achievements. So total worldwide, there are 260 servers. For WoW. Of those 260, 88 of them still have the Realm First Gul'dan achievement still available.
Wow. Oh,
sorry,
no.
Sorry. 88 with Realm First Argus. There are still some servers with Realm First Gul'dan. But yeah, I mean, that's crazy. I mean, I guess not so much. I don't know. Yeah, like I said, 550. There are 550 kills on Mythic Argus, so I guess it's believable that there would still be a healthy chunk of realms that haven't killed it yet. Like 88, that's a little more than a third of all realms still waiting to get their Mythic Realm First Argus kill. What else did they detail in this post? They even went so far as to calculating the odds for receiving a Hall of Fame on Horde. Obviously, it's way lower on the Horde side as opposed to the Alliance. So, if we had applied this Hall of Fame logic to the Antorus raid right now, anybody on the Alliance side who killed Argus before March 7th would have received that Hall of Fame achievement. Meanwhile, if you are Horde, you would have had to have killed it before February 5th. So, it's like over a month difference between Alliance and Horde. That's I mean, you know there's a faction imbalance in terms of the top end raiding guilds. You don't realize it's that high until you know you kind of see the numbers to back it up. It's crazy. So, I don't know. It'll be cool to see what Blizzard does to address this imbalance. I'm sure that this achievement is one of those things, although I don't see... I see it making a difference. I don't think it'll make as big a difference as some people may be thinking.
They definitely need to address it, though. It does seem a little bit off balance to have this level of disparity.
I'm getting kind of lost here now.
Okay.
It's 200 and 100 from each faction worldwide?
Right.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, if somebody in EU got one, and then somebody in US got one, that's in the same pool, right?
Right. That's my understanding of it anyway.
That's interesting, because the lockouts aren't the same.
True.
And, like, if you go a little bit further, the Chinese servers work differently, where the raids are slightly different with the gear and like the way they consume the game. So I don't know how.
I mean, those are the problems that we have right now in live, and it hasn't stopped. Who was it? Method, who got world first a lot this expansion.
Mm-hmm.
That hasn't stopped them from getting world first for most of Legion.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
It's just like the people underneath World First, like the trying to rush for the up to get the 90th or 100th kill. There's a lot more chances for other. I don't know. It's just interesting dynamic, I guess.
I don't see it making a huge impact for a lot of people.
I mean, it'll be absolutely no impact on me, so I'm just curious.
Well, even on the guilds that would be affected, I don't think it'll speed up or hinder their progress at all. I mean, why would it, first of all? But I actually don't know where I was going with this train of thought. I had something in my head, and it just left. Anyway, the Hall of Fame thing is cool.
I am interested to see if that brings more faction balance, though, because that would be good. Right now, as much as a Horde fanboy as I am, it'd be nice to see more alliance in the top raiding guilds.
One day.
Yeah.
Midwinter, you were our last one. I'm pretty
sure. They're gone.
Yeah, that's why I said they were our last one.
Oh.
I can't think of any alliance guilds that are along the same caliber.
Scrubbusters is an EU guild. They were world 7th. Bleached Bones, Libertad, Honestly, and a Russian guild that I can't pronounce.
And see, those are all names that...
Those were
like,
the top 20.
Yeah, those are all names that I don't know. Midwinter is the one I knew, and now they're Horde.
Yeah. Looking at the top 20, the only ones I recognize are Method, the Russian one, Exorcius, Limit, and Fat Shark, yes, just because we've talked about them so much.
Fat Shark, yes! Fat Shark, yes!
But, like, any of the other guilds that I used to follow and watch, they're not there.
Yeah, I can't... I can't even remember the names of the guilds that I paid attention to back when I first started playing. Which guild was it that abused thorium bombs during Lich King? Was it thorium or was it serenite bombs? I remember it being a big deal
who it was.
When whoever... Yeah.
They got banned, right?
Like, Yeah, it was making the rounds news-wise to the point where even me at the time, who had, you know, not been playing for very long, knew about it. And I can't remember the name now. That was a long time ago. That was like
Insidia?
I think that was it. The name sounds familiar.
Yeah,
that was nine years ago. Holy.
No, I know Insidia was one of those guilds that there was a couple guilds that merged into that, and then they broke off into another couple guilds, and a whole bunch of drama there. But like, I remember way back, Deuce Fox was a top guild. They were Alliance. They were one of the top US guilds and Alliance. There was another EU one called Vodka.
I remember Vodka.
Just looking at the WoW progress thing, there's a guild at rank 35 called Meh Winter on US Sargeras. Meh Winter? I'm assuming that's Midwinter, because that's the same server that Midwinter's on. I guess they just renamed their guild.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, it is. It's the Midwinter group, and I guess they renamed that guild to Manwinter so that they could keep the Midwinter name on the Horde side.
Okay, that makes sense. Enough about this Realm First stuff. A bunch of other stuff came out of the alpha this week. Aim address?
Yeah, really excited by this. And I have to say, this kind of throws me. So I kind of feel like the culture on druid forms made me feel like a resto druid just didn't quite know what form they wanted to take. So they decided to have a tree component in every form. They released the models for the cat druid for Culturon this week, and they all kind of looked like they were infected by a bit of like tree growth. And then I remembered back to the bear form, and I remembered that it also had like a significant feel of tree growth, but in a bear form. Like, it kind of feels like somebody just couldn't. A druid that couldn't quite get rid of, couldn't give up their restro form, the original dancing tree form.
Excuse me, it's not dancing tree, it's angry broccoli now.
Oh, sorry, the angry broccoli, I apologize. Couldn't quite give that up, and decided to just pull a little bit of tree over to their bear and cat forms. Jess, I disagree with you on that one, but that's beyond that's another story altogether. Anyways, The forms look interesting, but I just can't get over the trees. What do you guys think?
When I first looked at this link, these pictures, the first thing I thought of is, wow, those models look really long, like really, really big, and it made me think of the long cat meme. And maybe it's just the tail sticking out. On the green one.
Oh yeah, look at that. It does look a little long. See, I didn't even think of long cat. I just went with wood cat.
It's hilarious.
This one has, I mean, it has the shape of a cat, but that's about it. Last I checked, cats don't have those elongated snouts. Don't get me wrong, it looks freaking cool and I want it. Like, I'll definitely play a Culturan Druid for 20 minutes.
Well, I'm definitely rolling a Culturan Druid. There's no question about that. I don't know the name yet. It will have to be tree-based, because it can't make me anything else.
Tree or wicker. Yeah, you gotta work the wicker.
Wicker could somewhere. Definitely work there, yeah. But yeah, the tree stuff's just throwing me. Much like Frasley in the in chat, I am curious what the balance form is going to look like. I imagine it will just be like a fat, angry broccoli.
It'll be angrier broccoli.
A fat, angry broccoli. Yeah, okay. That works. I don't even know. I don't wonder what a restro druid would look like. I mean, an angrier, more broccoli-ish? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? we've been looking at these Kul'tiran druid forms for, like, this one for about a week. The bear one for a longer time. And it just occurred to me, I never really thought of, gave any thought as to what the rest of druid's gonna look like. Like, I mean, obviously, for the most part, rest of druid is just, you know, normal druid. But then they got their tree form. And what happens when they go to tree form? I need to know this. Oh, I want it.
Is it? This is just models that are being data mined, though, right? It's not
right
actual.
Yeah. There you go, Toasty. You just answered your question.
Oh my god, that's amazing. I love it.
The tree stuff is throwing me a little bit. I will have to try and play one once. You can't even play all Kul'tiran in the beta, in the alpha network currently, right? Or can't.
Sorry, say again?
You can't play out a Kul'tiran in the alpha, right?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so, but I wanted to check to make sure. But yeah, it's just the trees on all the other forms is kind of throwing me. It feels like they're investing more into that theme than they typically do into a specific theme across all of the forms for a specific race. At least from my perspective, anyway.
You know, I've been looking at these models since they came out, and I knew something about them was bothering me. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, and I think I just figured it out.
What's that?
Like, the legs outside of the, like, individual branches are completely hollow.
Yes.
Huh.
Whereas the bear form, at least my first impression of it, I didn't take a really close look at the bear form druid. But, like, it just felt very much like a bear with a bunch of tree, with a bunch of, like, dead trees as armor.
Yeah, you're right. The legs are empty, are hollow.
But this one is like, no, these look like their legs are straight up made of wood.
Yeah.
I'd be very curious to see the story behind these druids.
Like, oh man, these poor kitty druids, they lost their legs. Oh, but they're capable. That's all that matters.
Yeah. I'm putting a pin in my opinion on the Kul'tiran druid forms until we have more. And I can actually try one in-game and see how they look in-game. I do hope the whole hollow leg thing gets resolved, because that looks just weird for a druid. It feels zombie-like, almost.
I mean, I think that's intentional. I don't think that was a mistake. I'm pretty sure that's intentional.
And that concerns me. It concerns me greatly. But let's move on to non-disturbing topics. Well, let's talk about Magars.
All right, yeah. So we know the racials for the Magar orcs, which, you know, is cool, I guess, if you want to play one of those orcs.
Ooh, open skies increases mountain speed by a certain percentage. That's cool.
Definitely feels like they're made for warlock or hunter class, though.
Yeah, because there's a pet health increase by 1%.
Yeah.
And apparently the Magar orcs are Slytherins, because they've got a racial called pure blood.
Not surprising. They're orcs. They're evil. You know, it makes sense.
No, the Slytherins aren't evil. They're just overly ambitious.
Okay.
Not all Slytherins were evil.
Now you can tell me that orcs aren't evil. Crazy duck.
And so the pure blood racial just reduces the duration of poisons, disease, and curses by 1%. So yay! It'll shave off like a second, maybe.
Well, it's S1%, so I assume it is a variable, I'd imagine. That looks good. That looks like a value to me, not an actual like set number.
I don't know how that stuff works. What do I look like?
You look like a quality assurance person who tests code and makes sure it works properly. So it would therefore be very commonly known and understand such variables. Just a thought.
I don't look at the code.
Oh, okay then. I guess it's more for support people like myself, I guess.
And there's a fourth there's a fourth racial that we don't know what it does. It's called Ancestral Call. There's a bunch of ghostly orcs there. So I assume, I don't know, maybe you run faster in spirit form.
Look at the same post. I actually have a completely separate question. Looking at the map that's below the racial stuff, if I can fly from Easter Kingdoms to Vashir, where those islands are located, I should theoretically then be able to fly from Vashir to Kul Tiras. Theoretically.
Looks that way.
If you can mount in Vashir.
Well, there's islands in Vashir, and you can mount in the water.
I know.
So theoretically, I should be able to fly without interruption between like Ironforge and Kul Tiras.
In theory.
Maybe those aren't to scale.
This is true, and the map makers of Azeroth have been extremely flawed in the past.
Seeing this updated world map, I don't know if you guys... I don't know if I've shared this with you, but there's a Photoshop map going around. Well, it's basically World of Warcraft in 20... like, some future year. Where just, like, there are 17 or 18 more islands added to this world map. Like, eventually we're going to go to the other side of the world, right? It's not just going to be on this side of the world.
The other side? Are you being all flat earth on us here?
No.
I want to see that map. I want to see what people would like, expect. And yes, I do imagine that there is something that is further east than Eastern Kingdoms and further west of Kalimdor. They're not, you know, Alaska and Russia, where, you know, if you fly east on Eastern Kingdoms, you're going to land in, like, Exodar.
Yeah.
Man, to some group west of the Eastern Kingdoms, the name of that continent is horrifically wrong. I'm just throwing that out there.
True. Anyways, enough map talk. So, we talked a little bit, or I guess you guys probably talked a little bit back before I get my voice back, about the remote auction house being discontinued, and that has happening in 3 days. So there's some questions on the forums, one by an MVP and one by a player, trying to guess or presume or ask the reason for this being disabled. And the unpronounceable community manager did respond basically saying that there were significant issues trying to keep it up. It was only used by a very small amount of people, described as the tiniest fraction of a single percent of the community that were actually using the mobile auction house. And fixing issues with it were significant cost-wise, and for transporting, the majority of those issues were just exploits. So instead of taking devs away from working on new content, they decided to just kill the app. I'm still unhappy about this answer, but I don't believe that there is a financial burden to it other than it was costing too much money to keep going. The player that responded basically presumed that it was so that they could force people to log in and show investors that people were still logging into the game. I don't believe that is the case. And I feel that anybody who does feel that is very mistaken. There's a very good reason why Blizzard has stopped saying the number of people playing the game. They don't care about that number anymore as much as monthly user interactions with the game, especially the games that they, overall games that they have, not just one specific game. So, you know, I understand the logic. Not a lot of people used it. That makes me sad. It was a great tool. There was a lot of problems. Again, I don't know that it's fair to punish the players for their own mistakes in coding, for the fact that they were coding bugs in. However, you know, when you have such a small part of your user base that are using a feature, it does require justification to keep it going. You know, for my work, if we only have one company that has a small number of licenses or isn't paying for the software at all, And they want new support for one of their tools. Well, that's going to be something we'd have to really strongly consider, whether the time investment is worth it. It is just business. And sometimes business sucks. Sometimes business sucks, especially when you're on the losing end of that transaction. But I do understand that business has to rule in this kind of situation. So what do you guys think?
I think for this, they say for transparency, the majority of the issues were just exploits. So that's the last thing you want is people exploiting bugs in your code for their own personal gain. And I mean, if it was just like a visual thing, maybe that could they could run with that. But actual exploits, and we don't know what those exploits are, but if they're causing people to be able to game the system and get more gold than intended, that's just a problem. It's like, well, I don't really have a good comparison, but yeah, that's a problem. And this community manager, I'm going to just take a guess and say their name may or may not be Ethesins.
See, I thought it was Ethesins. I thought it was Ethesins.
Ethesins?
Yeah. Well, if they're listening, they can let us know. They did go on further in the thread and did point out they definitely understand that the UI, the current in-game UI is not good. I personally would have preferred if they had fixed the in-game UI before they killed the mobile app, but I understand that there were factors in there that were beyond their control, I guess. But I understand that their desire is never to recommend that players must use mobile add-ons to sufficiently operate the game at a normal level. But that is their recommendation at this point. And at this point, apparently there are no plans to update the auction house in-game. So that is your best option. Something like TSM or one of the other auction house mods is probably your best idea.
I was going to say, maybe they just need to go and hire Sapu to overhaul it.
They could definitely hire in some of the mod makers to improve their code around the auction house. But there's a lot of things in their UI code they could bring in add-on makers to fix that the problems they have and to make them better.
Yeah, and I mean a lot of the things that add-on makers have done that they really like, they've kind of adapted those as well. So I don't. It's just that the auction house is such a big undertaking that it's too much work. I think they feel like.
I mean, yeah, I don't really have much to contribute to the conversation. I agree that I agree with their line of thinking. If a smallest part of a percentage of the player base is using it and it's costing money to maintain it and fix the problems, and you're not really gaining much else from it, then yeah, axe it. It sucks for the people who use it, but that dev time can be put elsewhere. Put it elsewhere. It's funny that you were talking about the weird wood theme that the Kul'tiran druids had going on for them, for the druid forms.
Yes.
Because we did talk, there was something that happened this past week that we completely forgot to talk about last week, because I guess that's how much we all pay attention to Hearthstone. As, you know, we don't play it as much as other people do. But the new Hearthstone expansion launched last week. So that's the Witchwood. That was launched on April 12th. Did you guys pick up any packs for that?
No. I know you did, but you didn't pre-order them.
No.
No, I don't buy packs.
Nope.
I just got the free ones that were sent to me. I think that was for that. I don't even know.
What about you, Medros?
I opened the free packs and got a legendary when I logged in earlier before the show, but that's about it.
Nice. I just got 15 packs.
Gasp. And homeownership is doing hard on you. Homeownership's doing hard on you.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I got 5 legendaries out of those 15 packs, so I'm not complaining too much.
Wow.
That was a pretty good raid. They just like, oh, legendary. Ooh, legendary. Ooh, legendary.
You get a legendary. You get a legendary. You get a legendary. It's just like Legion. I mean, wait.
No. No. Because I'm pretty sure some of the legendaries I got initially were good. At least, that's the impression I got when I talked to one of the guys at work about the legendaries I got. And he was like, oh, wow. Lucky son of a gun.
You know, the minute that they offer me world quests in WoW, that earns me packs in Hearthstone or loot boxes in Overwatch, I would likely do more of them. Cross-pollination, man. It's all about the cross-pollination of your brands.
You're not wrong.
I totally feel this is going to happen. Like, one of the rewards, it'll be a special monthly emissary thing for Battle for Azeroth. Where if you do certain world quests, you get a free loot crate in Overwatch or something.
Yeah, the thing with that loot crate will be filled with all dupes.
But all it might dupes. Get some people playing if they get a cool skin.
That's true. Maybe not all dupes. I know I have that problem, but that's because I have almost all the things for all the characters. Brigitte's been out for a couple weeks, and I'm pretty sure I only have 5 things left to unlock on her.
That's insane. Good on you, but that's insane.
I mean, also, like, I didn't buy any loot boxes. That's just me playing the game. But because of the way the loot box system works there now, where it favors not giving you duplicates, when you have most of the stuff for all the other characters, you will just probably get stuff for the new character that comes out.
That's cool.
For, like, the first bunch of loot boxes. There was one loot box, I kid you not, was, like, a Brigitte skin and then 3 of her voice lines.
So, I have a question for you. Do you have any tracking or any knowledge of how many loot boxes you've opened for Overwatch?
I don't want that information.
So, you don't have that information, or you just don't want to look for it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you can, I guess, I can go through my email and get all the receipts and all that other stuff.
But, I mean, that's only for the free ones. I'm actually asking, like, also for, like, the ones you've earned in-game. Like,
I mean, you have a basic idea of how many you've opened. Like, you'll get one for every time you level up.
Okay.
So, I've gotten 300 through that method. Plus, in the arcade mode, for every 3 wins, you get one. That's a little harder to figure out. But I know for me personally, since they've introduced that feature, I've gotten all 3 every week. That's 12-ish a month, let's say, based just playing arcade. So I've gotten a few. Just a few.
It intrigues me that you have done so much in this game.
It grabbed me, and it grabbed me good, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It's just like WoW, where, you know, I started playing because of this girl I was kind of dating, and now what? Almost 10 years later, I'm still playing the game. You know, I haven't spoken to her in a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's my other foray into another game just recently, Stardew Valley. You know, downloaded on a Friday night, and by the time the weekend's done, I have 30-some-odd hours in the game. I don't even want to know how much time I have in the game right now. I'm pretty sure it's close to 70.
You've done a lot in this game.
Yeah. You know, I don't play a lot of games, but the games I do play, they've grabbed me hard.
I don't know how many I've opened. I've opened probably more than I should have. Absolutely, but yeah.
For Overwatch? Yeah, considering, like, the amount that you play?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably. Which is to say, like, I don't play very much at all anymore.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure every time I see you on Battle.net, online in Overwatch, all it ever says is you're opening loot boxes or you're in main menu.
Like I just was, because I just realized there's another loot box to get for the event.
There you go. Anyway, let's stop talking about other Blizzard games.
Well, fine if you insist.
To talk about another Blizzard game. But hey, this one's at least related to World of Warcraft. You remember Warcraft 3?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember it.
Yeah. We had talked about how they had... What was it? They increased the amount of people that could play, and the maps, or maybe not the map sizes, but I don't remember when we had talked about that.
It was a while ago.
Yeah, it was like a couple months, maybe.
Yeah,
or a month, because they had that summit thing as well.
Right.
They flew everybody in to talk about it. But yeah, there was patch 1.29 for Warcraft 3 just came out. One of the things is widescreen support added, so you don't have to play in your old letterbox style.
You mean I can put away my CRT?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just throw it outside. It'll be fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Maybe put some goldfish in it. Game lobbies have been expanded to 24 players. And so they've added 12 new team colors as well. So that's kind of cool.
Peanut is not a team color. Like, peanut's not a color.
I don't have Warcraft 3. I really should buy it. It would be nice to have. Just to fill out my Blizzard collection.
Does that get added to the launcher, or does it have its own launcher?
I don't know. I don't have it.
I think you can buy it through the launcher.
So it probably gets added to the launcher. I know the StarCraft remaster got added to the launcher.
Yeah, like for $25 Canadian, you can get both Reign of Chaos and Frozen Throne, so.
$25? I can't say no to that.
It's $12.50 each. I'm actually checking to see if I actually own either of them. I own them. I just have no idea where the keys would be.
Oh, you haven't entered the keys onto your Battle.net?
Probably wouldn't have thought of it, but let's check.
Oh my! Like I entered my Diablo.
I got Diablo 2 into the StarCraft
and Warcraft 2. Yeah,
StarCraft Anthology, and I've got Diablo 2. But that's really the only two retro games I've got.
I've only got StarCraft as far as retro games go. That's only because my team lead's like, hey, let's all play StarCraft. So I did that.
Yay! Did she buy it for you?
No.
No? Aw, boo.
But she's like, why? You don't have to buy it, it's free. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to buy it anyway. It looked better. The remaster looked better.
I would definitely consider buying Reign of Chaos and Frozen Throne. Those are good games.
See, I never actually played them. No, I did play them. But it was like a janky version of it because I was, a broke kid back then.
Yeah.
Although, I'm sure a lot of people have that same experience.
I mean, if those two games back when I started playing the game were this deal, I would have totally bought them right away, but this is a very different time, and I'm very curious to see what they look like now.
I bet they'll look fabulous. Nostalgia.
Just make sure to put on your red glasses first.
Yes. Your rose-colored glasses. I don't really have a whole lot more to say about this. It's kind of cool. I played a bunch of Warcraft 2 back in the day, but I barely played any Warcraft 3.
Yeah, for me it was like a lot of Warcraft 1 and 2. Warcraft 3, my computer back then couldn't handle it. So, yeah, I didn't play a lot of it. I tried to get through a bunch and then gave up because I'm like, my computer's garbage. And that's when I went console for like 10 years. Oh man, those were dark days. Dark days. But now I'm back, it's fine. All right. I guess we're going to talk about some sponsors. Because those guys are great. I like them.
They give us money.
Yay. So, our second sponsor for the show are the great folks over at Audible. You can get a free audiobook download at bit.ly/ATABooks2018. That's bit.ly/ATABooks2018. Now over 200,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player. This week we are continuing the Percy Jackson series. This time we're taking a listen at The Titan's Curse.
My hand went to my pocket, where I kept my lethal ballpoint pen, Riptide. I could already sense something wrong in this place. Something dangerous. Thaley was rubbing her silver bracelet, her favorite magic item. I knew we were thinking the same thing. A fight was coming. Annabeth started to say, I wonder where... The door slammed shut behind us. Okay, I mumbled. Guess we'll stay a while. I could hear music echoing from the other end of the hall. It sounded like dance music. We stashed our overnight bags behind a pillar and started down the hall. We hadn't gone very far when I heard footsteps on the stone floor, and a man and woman marched out of the shadows to intercept us. They both had short gray hair and black military-style uniforms with red trim. The woman had a wispy mustache, and the guy was clean-shaven, which seemed kind of backward to me. They both walked stiffly, like they had broomsticks taped to their spines.
Well, the woman demanded, what are you doing here?
And once again, that was Percy Jackson, The Titan's Curse, written by Rick Riordan and narrated by Jesse Bernstein. You can find that in over 200,000 titles at bit.ly/ATABooks2018, and we thank Audible for sponsoring the show.
Indeed.
Great series. I fully recommend it.
Cool. So our question of the week is, what are you looking forward to the most about the Battle for Azeroth Physical Collector's Edition?
So Lagerwolf said the novella. Give me that lore. WookieBH said the novellas. And the ability to access content early in exchange for BattleNet balance.
Spectacular Death says, actually nothing. I have Seas from Wrath on and on, and I won't be buying this one. It feels more and more like Seas are what do we have in the back of the storeroom that you can give away. Kip Duran says, nothing. I always liked the art book and mouse pad. This year it seems like it is not worth it for a coin. Sticking with the digital one I already bought.
And Frazzly says, looking forward to the soundtrack. That thing is always fun to listen to on repeat. And yeah, I agree. I especially like that it's digital this time around.
Yeah.
I lose the CDs way too easily.
Yeah, Spectacular Death, I really don't agree with that. I've never seen this Mark of Allegiance before as any option they've had with any product they've had. So I really don't feel this is a back of the storeroom kind of thing. I think this was made specifically for this because it is returning to the Horde versus Alliance theme that is central to World of Warcraft. I mean, the mouse pad, I've got at least five mouse pads sitting on in their boxes because I don't use mouse pads. Art books are great, but I read them once and they stay in the box. This coin, as you call it, Kip Duran, is something that I could see on my shelf, on display, along with the rest of my WoW collectibles. So I don't agree with those two people, but that's not surprising. I have collector's editions, and I kind of feel like I would apply what they're saying to the BlizzCon goodie bags for the last year or two. Not 2 years ago, because 2 years ago was, I think, the mug. And I really loved that. That was the Stein. That was really awesome. But for last year, the goodie bag for BlizzCon was very, very much sound like it was that back of the storeroom kind of thing to me. But the collector editions, I've never failed to be happy with them. Though I won't lie, there's definitely things that have come in some of the collector editions that I liked more than others. I didn't want just another collector edition where the only thing to draw me in was a book and a CD and a DVD. So they changed it up this year, and I like that. So
the other thing that I really like about the collector's editions are the sexy box that they come in. Like, those can go up on a shelf, and I mean, I don't know, maybe it's a conversation starter. I think they're cool. Like I said last week, I look up, whenever I talk about them, I look up, and I'm doing that right now, at the two boxes that I have out, and then there's other ones in behind, and they just look so cool. They're so big.
Like, I understand, to a degree, what Kip Duren had to say regarding the art book and the mouse pad. Yeah, we're not getting an art book this time around. We're getting a novella by the sounds of, we're getting a novella with some art in there, which is still cool. I personally am always a fan of art books. I go to Marley, collect a lot of them. So I'll be missing that. Because I do go through those regularly. I just like looking at the different concept stuff and all that other kind of thing. Mousepad, I'm kind of missing that as well. Because I do use those, like, ever since I started buying collector's editions, which would have been with Cataclysm. No. Mists. Yeah, Mists. That's what I used throughout the entire expansion, and when I'm done, I just stick it back in the box, because by then it's, you know, all, you know, destroyed and stuff. So, you know, I'll miss out on that stuff, I guess, but, yeah. The coin, the amulet thing seems cool, and I'm definitely going to be displaying that prominently somewhere.
Yeah, like I just pulled down two of my collector's editions from my shelf, just at random. I've got Legion and I've got Warlords, just because they're two next to each other. I've read the art book. I didn't watch the DVD. I ripped the soundtrack. Never touched it again. And those pads never been used for either of them. Like. What use is a mouse pad I'll never use, and an art book that will be read once? At least the novella, it has a story. It has something I actually want to spend time reading. And it has art too. So it has both of those worlds for the objective person to look at. So yeah, I'm happy they are changing it up a bit. Alright, so next week's question is, what is your personal World of Warcraft Hall of Fame? Rolling 500, rolling a 1/500 and rolling top thing for, it was a set piece, I believe, back, I think, in Karazhan, but I was so happy. That's my personal Hall of Fame.
I think my personal Hall of Fame, I think it's going to be, like, my rating thing throughout this entire expansion. Like, I went from, you know, on and off rating during Warlords to having, you know, a full set of AOTC throughout the entire expansion. That was pretty cool. You know, I was a pretty casual raider like two expansions ago. Well, one expansion ago, and before that I wasn't a raider at all. So, you know, the accomplishments I have gotten in this expansion, that's, you know, definitely in my Hall of Fame. What about you, Fan?
Trying to think. I know, like, one of the parts would be killing the final encounter, the final Deathwing encounter on Heroic before Mists of Pandaria came out. Mists of Pandaria was the one after Cataclysm, right?
Right.
So, killing him while, I mean, there was already buffs that, like, to it where we did, like, we were, like, plus 25 or plus 30% or something, but we still killed him before the next patch, so that was hard to do, and that was Heroic back before Mythic was a thing, so that was basically what Mythic is now. We killed it, cleared it on Heroic, which is, yeah, that felt so good, and it was so hard, and every new kill felt so good.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing what everybody else is proud of and WoW, because that's just, you know, that's something that will change for everybody, and, you know, I want to hear your stories. So give them to me.
Cookie's Hall of Fame is that he slept for the whole episode of ATA, and he just woke up now.
Ah, that's why he's been so quiet.
Yeah.
Alright. I guess time for shout-outs. And shout-outs for this episode. Since I forgot to mention last episode, Frasley is also sponsoring the show. He just had set his up outside of Patreon, and I always forget his. So he gets a special shout-out for this episode. The next one is, of course, Daily Frostwolf. Our supporter, Nivimi, is awesome. Supports us every month and has a really awesome blog. There's some really cool stuff from information about different items you can get in game, recaps of raids that they've done, and some really awesome Fail Friday stuff. You have to check that out. That's at frostwolves.blogspot.com, and we thank Nivimi for this, for her sponsorship of the show. Toadji, how about you read the next one?
I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to, you know, go from ahead, because it's for Hardcore Casuals over on Downright Alliance side. As I said earlier, we're not really raiding right now, but hey, we're still looking for cool people to hang out with and, you know, preparing for raid next expansion. So, harass Junks for more information.
My promised carry through AOTC?
Hey, done. No comment.
All right. Let me guess. Harass Junks?
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha.
Technical difficulties. If it makes you feel any better, I don't have AOTC for that either.
Yeah, but I'm the show host. I'm joking. That is purely a joke. Not actually serious at all. I do also want to give one other shout out, and that is to everybody who supported the Humble Broncos GoFundMe. It's now up to $11.6 million. So that's really awesome. It's 129,000, actually almost 130,000 people supported that in 9 days. It's absolutely awesome. So awesome.
And that's just GoFundMe. There's other people that have committed money to it, like the different 50-50s. I know the Jets last Friday was dedicated to Humble or to there. And I know tonight at the Wild game, they're dedicating their 50-50 as well.
Well, at least one good thing came out of that game.
And actually, no, I can't really comment on that yet because I don't know enough about it. Sorry.
I am going to shout out all the fantastic people who joined us on this rare Sunday recording of the show. So thanks for hanging out, Pugosatin, Jess, Jen, and Frasley.
Awesome. And, so I'll actually do the outro this time, assuming my voice won't break during it. All right. If you'd like to reach us by voicemail, you can reach us at 1-785-ATAOL5. That's 1-785-282-9695. You can send emails to show at allthingsazeroth.com. If you'd like to what we do here, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/allthingsaz. You can check us out on Twitter at All Things As for the show, at Medros for myself, at Fandeth, that's PHANDETH for Fandeth, at Toasty Posty Can, and at Dawnforge for the network. You join our BattleNet group at bit.ly/BNetATA, and please check us out on other shows on our from Dawnforge Productions, including Group Quest, Shattered Soulstone, More Than McPizzles, and Across the Hooniverse. We'll be back next week. In the meantime, take care, happy hunting, and we'll see you on the other side of the Jets hopefully clinching their series.
Go Jets, go.
# Winnipeg Whiteout.
Hell yeah.
This podcast has been a production of Dawnforge, copyright 2018. Find out more at thedawnforge.com.